Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And we have open lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. That's 1-800-677-9377. And this is your invitation to hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, perhaps something about the book of Revelation, or if you have a nagging, lingering personal issue you'd like to discuss, we've opened the phone lines just for you right now at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Well, we're in the final week, of course, of our study of the book of Revelation, and now here to carry on is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've said on this broadcast from day one that the gospel is really summed up in these three words. Jesus is alive. He was raised from the dead, and all of Christianity hinges on that one fact, that one singular event. Well, here we see the whys of that. Why was Jesus raised from the dead? Well, he is going to be the ruler over all. That includes sin and death. That resurrection was an exclamation point on the fact that Jesus has conquered both sin and death, and he is going to take up his rightful place on the throne and rule and reign forever. Well, we see that happening in Revelation 20, and it's a wonderful, wonderful kind of depiction of the end of all things. In this chapter, we're introduced to many of the prophecy buzzwords. I mean, if you've been a Christian very long, you know these buzzwords quite well. There's the millennial reign, there's the great white throne judgment, there's the second death, there's the lake of fire. And boy, there's a lot of discussion about what those mean. But as far as John is concerned, he uses all of these powerful images to magnify the gospel story. He wants us to know about Jesus. He wants us to know about Jesus' rule and reign in our lives, Jesus' rule and reign over all things, the fact that Jesus is the preeminent one. So all of this imagery helps tell that story. Now, concerning the millennial reign, Richard, you've had lots of history with that. You know, one of the big questions is it literal or is it figurative? And we get bogged down in trying to figure that out, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And when you put that together with you know, whether the second coming is pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib, and then you get in the arguments about premillennial or post-millennial or amillennial, pretty soon your head's spinning and you miss the point.
Yes.
Regardless of what it is, you miss the point that Jesus is reigning. And so I keep coming back to this, but my life changed for the better when I stopped trying to understand each and every little syllable in this letter on its own and just let it all point to Jesus, because some of us are going to be right and some of us are going to be wrong, but none of us are going to care. Jesus is the one who's winning here, and let's worship him.
Yes, indeed. I love what Adam Clark, a biblical scholar and a commentator on the Word of God, said about the 1,000 years. Who can tell?
Yeah, who can tell?
Who can tell?
We'll find out.
Yeah, but here's what we know from the chapter. An angel binds Satan during this period and keeps him in a bottomless pit. Souls beheaded for their faith come back to life and reign with Christ. When this period ends, Satan is set free to gather a mighty army for battle. And then fire consumes the enemies of God, and Satan is thrown into the fiery lake to be tormented day and night. That's what we know. So here we see the power and authority of Jesus Christ. Our God does reign after all. We also see this gospel story coming to its conclusion. The dead in Christ are raised to life to rule and reign with Jesus himself. And then John puts an exclamation point on Christ's defeat of Satan. Now, when did that take place? Christ defeated Satan at the cross, made a public spectacle of him right then and there. So we know that victory is ours. So we see some powerful things in this chapter, and then it concludes with the great white throne judgment. We hear that, and it's a scary scary image.
Don't want to be there.
No, we don't. We really don't. And, you know, John really takes some things out of the book of Daniel, chapter 7, to show God's final judgment of man. As I said, there's this dividing line that goes all the way through the letter of Revelation. And on one side of that line are those who worship Satan and the beast and all of that, and then on the other are those who worship the Lamb. That's the big issue. That is the central issue of life. Who will you worship? And those who worship the beast, this great white throne judgment is directed toward them. Their punishment is death. God ultimately throws them, along with death and Hades, into the lake of fire, where they experience eternal separation from God. It is a dark, dark reality. And I think that's why we need to be very proactive right now, today, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, because there is an offer of life on the table. And all who receive Jesus are made alive in him and will stand with him forever. Those who reject, those who continue to rebel, their final judgment is this lake of fire, eternal separation from God.
Yes. There's an offer on the table, and there's a day coming.
Yes, indeed.
1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Plenty of time, plenty of open lines. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Martin, who's listening in Pitt Meadows, British Columbia. Hi, Martin.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Sorry, I talked to you yesterday. I won't call you every day.
Hey, that's okay. love hearing from our listeners, so glad you've called again.
Thanks. I just got a question for you guys. Do you believe that the beast and the false prophet are demons?
Well, the book of Revelation really doesn't tell us that information. And that's one of the things that people speculate about. What we do know is that they derive their power from the dragon. The dragon imparts power to them to carry out their work. They're also, you know, when you look at it, the dragon, he's a liar. And his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's basically stolen the gospel story, and he's tried to mimic it. And I think in the beast and the false prophet, we see his attempt to pervert the story of the good news of Jesus Christ. So he's the ultimate plagiarist. He just copies whatever God brings to the table and tries to pan it off as truth. So what we do know is that the dragon is identified as Satan, and that Satan himself gives power to the beast and to the false prophet. So are they demonically influenced? Absolutely. Are there demons? They certainly could be.
Yeah, I just think in Daniel 10, like it tells us that angels and demons are kings and princes, you know, like of ruling the airways.
Yes.
And so I believe they are. I've just seen how I believe that they are demons that possess people. And if you look back, like I personally believe a lot of revelation has happened. I'm not saying it's a fact, it's just what I believe. And some of the history doesn't fit. But if you look at it like through Daniel 10, where it's saying that they are kings and princes, a lot of it could fit, like outside of what people see in history, but kind of what's happening in history in the spiritual world.
Yeah, there's, you know, this battle, this heavenly battle, all of what Satan is trying to do to usurp Christ's authority and to take over Christ's role, is being carried out on earth. We realize that. That's why I think Paul wrote in Ephesians what he did about this spiritual battle, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So that's reality. And I think we see that, you know, a little more clearly in the pages of this letter of Revelation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like the one thing I think that a lot of people kind of don't really believe in Jesus, they think he's like a false prophet, like
yes.
through Matthew 24, where it says this will happen in this generation.
Yes.
Number of Revelation saying, well, must soon take place because the time is near. I just kind of think if a lot of it has happened, it will, you know, prove Jesus greater, like maybe to the Jews, help them to realize who he is.
Well, Martin, you know, as you well know, there are many frameworks in which to mm-hmm. look at the book of Revelation. And I think, you know, there a lot of the language has already been used. Revelation references the Old Testament more than any other New Testament book.
That's the key to it, I think.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. Well, Martin, you've obviously done a lot of study on it, and I certainly appreciate you bringing your keen insights to the table.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much, guys.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for your call.
Well, there's plenty of room for others to bring their keen insight to the table as well. 1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel, and we're here live so that we can take your phone calls, answer your questions, and discuss the issues that we've been discussing in the book of Revelation right now. 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call. I want you to enter the conversation. 1-800-677-9377. Guys, had a question from Sam, who writes to us from New Brockton, Alabama. Concerning Revelation 22:18, it says that he says that it warns everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book and adds to them that God will add to him the plagues described in the book. And then chapter 19 goes even further, saying that if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in the book. Now, the question is, if someone had a share in the tree of life and the holy city and then did what is forbidden, would that mean that they were a saved person and then had their share taken away? And the second part of the question, also, does the adding or subtracting from the words have to be a conscious, deliberate choice, or is it something that can be done by using imagery or things like that from the Revelation in a secular sense? For example, images of the four horsemen mentioned in the Revelation are often used in various forms of pop culture. Do these passages show that someone can lose their salvation?
I don't think they do, because there's this stream of assurance that flows through the book of Revelation from start to finish. Those who have been sealed by God, marked out by God as belonging to him, they are saved from the wrath to come. They will take up their spot in this new Jerusalem. They will dwell with God forever, and God will dwell with them as his God, and they will be his people. That's just the story of Revelation. I think everybody has a share in that, mm-hmm. in the sense that God offers life to all. This gospel message isn't just directed toward people who are going to respond. Lots and lots and lots and lots of people have that opportunity to respond. As Paul wrote in Titus, the grace of God has appeared to all men, not just some men, but to all men. So this offer of life is on the table for anybody, anywhere, at any time. Not all receive it. Not all embrace that. Not all respond to it by faith. But to those who reject Christ and then try to take the story of Christ and pervert it, their opportunity for life is now gone. I think that's what this is saying.
Yeah.
So it's not somebody that had salvation and then loses salvation. I think it's somebody that knew the plan of salvation and who has chosen deliberately, willfully, not in ignorance, but deliberately chooses to take the words, manipulate them, pervert them to deliver a new story that is trying to lead people astray. Satan is the prime example of that, and all those who bow the knee to him. I think that's who these passages are talking to.
Okay. Sam, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you. Plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. And if you have a question, can't get to the phone during the time we're actually on the air live, we encourage you to drop us an email with your question or your particular concern, and we'd be glad to address it on a later edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, I wanted to mention this to our listeners. We're coming to the end of October, and these incredible resources that we have been offering through the month, we want you to take advantage of those. On Friday, we will have another offer all through the month of November. So you just have 3 days to take advantage of the booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, and the CD series on Revelation. Revelation, It's No Mystery. These are wonderful, wonderful resources. And we are making them available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. That's for the booklet. And then a gift of $50 or more, you will get the CD series as well. But these are resources that can truly anchor you in your relationship with the Lord. The biggest question that we have on this program is about assurance of salvation. How can I know for sure that I'm saved? Well, these two resources powerfully answer that question and will bring you to a point where you know that you know that you know. If you're struggling, we want to get these into your hands. So let us do that. But we also want you to join with us in reaching others.
Yeah.
This is listener-supported radio. We need your help. We need it now. We need it today.
Sure.
So we're asking you to take advantage of these wonderful opportunities to get some valuable resources in your hands, and also the amazing opportunity to invest in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God to change lives. And that's what your gift to Basic Gospel is, an investment in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So how do you take advantage of these particular offers? Why, simply go to our website, basicgospel.net. You'll find prominent links right on the homepage there. Remember, a gift of any amount gets you the copy of the booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. Or if you can give a generous gift of $50 or more, you'll receive both the booklet and our CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery by Richard Piper. So go online to basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to George in Jamaica, New York, talking with us on WMCA. Hi, George.
Hey, hi. How you doing?
Doing
well. Hey, listen, I had a little problem. I've been, I'm almost 61 years old, and I was raised in church, but I don't have a clear understanding of what the sequence is with the Great Tribulation and the Millennium. And since that's the subject of the day, I figure, okay, let me see if I get an answer to that.
Well, George, I'll just tell you this. No one is clear on the sequence of these events. And that's one of the confusing aspects of the book of Revelation. We think in terms of time. We want to lay out the book in, you know, on a timeline. You know, this happens, then this happens, then this happens, then this happens. That's not the way the book is written. For example, the three sets of seven judgments, the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, the seventh one ends at the same place. You know, the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, the seventh bowl all describe the same end of the story. So we want to put those on a timeline and say, here are the seven seals, and then come the seven trumpets, and then come the seven bowls, but that's not really how it's laid out. So they're more like circles and things like that, that we'll see some things and John will bring us right back to a certain place. And so I think he's just magnifying what's gonna happen. So no one of us really knows how these events are going to occur. What we do know is this: Jesus Christ is going to return. There will be a final judgment upon those who have rejected his son, Jesus. And once that occurs, there will be this remaking of the heavens and the earth. There will be this new Jerusalem that comes down from God and takes up the whole of earth. That will become our dwelling place, and that will become the dwelling place of God upon this earth. It is the time when heaven and earth unite.
Okay. One more question is basically a prequel to this, because I think I should have asked it first. And that is when they speak about the rising of the government of Satan, they said it originates, that he rises from the sea. Now, me and my brother have been wondering for the longest time whether it was the actual sea that we see, the ocean, or whether it's that sea is representative of something else, like the perversion of man, experiment of what is that sea that they speak about.
I just think it's representative of evil. I think that's what that talks about. And it's interesting, if you look in Revelation 21, it says that when this new Jerusalem comes down, that there's not going to be a sea. It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I got to see this. Revelation 21, the entire chapter, I guess, suppose.
Yes, yes, indeed.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to be looking. You probably hear from me, because if I'm not clear, I'm going to hit this button again. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Hey, thank you for your call. We sure appreciate it.
There'll be a lot of shippers out of business then.
Huh? That's right. Well, let's go to Melvin in San Francisco, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Melvin.
Hey, hi, guys. How are you? Just wanted to let you know that I appreciate what you do for everybody that calls to the ministry, to you guys, and you guys are so humble and so honest. And I appreciate when people call to argue, you don't argue with them. It's not about arguing. And you just tell them, okay, if you don't believe it, it's okay. It's up to you. Do whatever, you know. And it's about love, about our Christ, about the grace, what he did. It's hard to understand for many people, even for me sometimes, to understand that grace. But you guys do such a wonderful work. That is amazing. God bless you all the time, and we see each other in heaven.
Well, thank you so much, Melvin, for your words of encouragement. You know, Bob Davis has said all along about our ministry, we just want to make friends. We want to be able to dialogue with people, respect them for who they are, and hopefully they respect us for who we are, and just dig deep within all the issues and see what the Word of God has to say. And so, Melvin, I appreciate you certainly getting on today and bringing those kind, encouraging words to the airwaves. So thank you so much, Melvin. Let us put you on hold. We'd love to send you this copy of our Guaranteed Future. So you hold the line, okay?
And we're going to be talking about that. But, Bob, take a few seconds and, again, reiterate what the financial needs of the ministry are as we close the broadcast.
The needs are great, and the time is now for our listeners to step up to the plate and make a difference. We want to start the new year on a firm footing, and we need your help to do that. Why? Because the basic gospel needs to continue reaching ears all over this country and all over the world.
Absolutely. Well, folks, thanks for joining us for Basic Gospel today. If you've liked what you've heard, we hope that you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And as Bob was saying, to say thanks for supporting Basic Gospel, we're going to send you a copy of the booklet Our Guaranteed Future for a gift of any amount. With your donation of $50 or more, we'll include the booklet and the 8-message CD series Revelation is No Mystery by Richard Piper. Your gifts are vital, of course, to keep Basic Gospel on the air. But at the same time, your gift can provide new understanding of the book of the Revelation. But, you know, time for this offer is running short, as Bob was saying just a little while ago. Take advantage of it now and receive our booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount or for a donation of $50 or more. Get both the booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery. To donate, call now, 1-800-727-2828, or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828. While you're at the website, be sure to click subscribe to our email list. Now for Bob and Richard and the entire ministry staff, Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.